We are in Jonah, and we're just going to kind of backtrack for a few verses in chapter 3 and catch the first few verses of chapter 4. And 2 weeks ago, we focused on God wanting and desiring repentance. And you understand that, you know, when he sent John the Baptist out to prepare the way for the Lord, he came, repent, right? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus continued that after John was placed in prison. And you understand that when we turn from everything else to God, that's what we need. That's how we find salvation. You understand, you can't be saved if you're holding on to something else. If you're holding on to anything else as far as salvation, then you might not have salvation. That's just it's that simple. I know some people don't like that, but you say, well, you know, I trusted Christ, but you know, I got to keep working to be saved. Then are you really saved? Or are you hanging on to works? You know, or I got to keep being a good person, or I got to keep doing this or keep doing that. We've got to be careful. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the just shall live by faith. And yes, we should live a good life, and yes, we should follow, but that's because we are saved, not to be saved. And so we've got to be careful of these things and go by what the Word of God says, but God desires repentance. God, if you will, and I tell this to my kids often, I don't want to punish you. I don't wake up in the morning saying, all right, how many kids can I punish today? That's not on my list. I don't want to do that, but I am oftentimes forced to do that. I have to do that in response to their sin, if you will. So God will, because he is a righteous judge and he is God and he is holy and just and all those things. But God would rather forgive. God would rather, if you will, see us turn back to him and put ourselves into his loving kindness and into his mercy, because he is a merciful God. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to start in verse 5 of chapter 3. And I'll read here to verse until verse 4 of chapter 4. You follow along. So the people of Nineveh believed God. By the way, that's what God wants. And proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know, many times in our lives, and I've been guilty of this, we want people that do wrong to pay. That's how we feel. Come on now, right? I'm not the only one. And you know what? And why? Most of the time because we paid, right? When we did wrong. So we just want some equality there, don't we? But that's how we as human beings think. And think about it. That's how Jonah thinks. So as we're really going to kind of talk about verses 9 and 10, really, tonight and into these few verses. But I have to address what Jonah said as he is making his complaint known unto God. And he said, look, he said, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? So if we go back to chapter 1, we see that God told him to cry against the wickedness there in Nineveh, and he fled from the presence of the Lord. And he knew that that's what God was going to do. And so that's why he didn't want that to happen. He said, God, I knew that you were going to forgive them. God, I knew you were going to be gracious. God, I knew you were going to be merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and that you were going to turn. That's what that word repent means, to turn. You were going to turn from this evil that you were going to do against. You say, God does evil? That's not what that word means, as far as it doesn't mean like Satan and wickedness and such and so forth. It just means that he was going to place judgment and pronounce judgment upon them. For instance, how would you feel if your whole city was burnt up all at once? You would think some great evil had come against your city. Do you understand how that kind of works in that way? So you have to think about the wording of this, because none of these words compromise the character of God. All right? Including this word, repent. Now, I've heard this many times, and this is kind of why we're going to focus on this a little bit tonight, because it's so important to realize that, if you will, all this is stipulating is that God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God that is merciful, and Jonah says those very words, that he's a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So, for instance, we can go back and look at the children of Israel, and we can see how God dealt with them. And all this is saying is, God said, I'm going to judge you. And that includes their destruction of their city, the taking of their lives, and we would consider that evil, wouldn't we? We would consider that bad, right? How many of you would like that to happen to you? Nobody would, okay? Now, you understand, though, that all of these times that come into question where God repents or God turns from his wrath, okay, it's because the people responded correctly. When we respond correctly, God now has an opportunity to not kill us. To not destroy the city. Think about this. If Pharaoh would have let God's people go, would God have killed his firstborn son? No. Would he have brought all those horrible plagues upon Egypt? And would the children of Israel have plundered Egypt entirely? Because you understand that as they were being sent out of Egypt, the people were just throwing gold and gems and fine linen and all kinds of things, saying, just take everything and get out of here. I mean, they spoiled the place as they were headed out of town. Do you think God would have done that if Pharaoh and the Egyptians would have repented? If they would have turned? If Pharaoh hardened his heart? Let me just ask you this question. Could Jonah have gone in and preached there in Nineveh, and instead of verse 6, when it says, when the word came to the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne and he stood there and said, there is no God but me. Could he have done that? Did he have to send out his nobles and send out the proclamation that everybody should fast and everybody should call on God? In verse 8, I just love what he says here. He says, yea, let them, he says, cry mightily unto God, and yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way. He says, stop being evil. He says, stop the violence. And he says, take this time and call on God, because who can tell if God will turn? Because what was the pronouncement? 40 days and judgment's coming. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days and all 120,000 of you are going to die. That was the message, you understand. And I don't think Jonah preached any mercy. And I don't think Jonah preached any forgiveness. I think he went in there and said, hey, y'all are toast. 40 days and God's going to smoke this place. Do you see any other attitude from Jonah the prophet? I don't see where he said, hey, by the way, postscript, if you repent, God will spare your life. He didn't do that, did he? The king did that. God saw in verse 9, or verse 10, he saw that they turned from their evil way. And God said, I'm not going to destroy the city. I'm not going to kill all these people. I was going to, but now they've repented, so now I'm not going to. Think about this. You and I were born into this world. The Bible tells us that we're condemned already in our trespasses and sins. Okay? There's already, as soon as you're born, there's already a judgment placed on your life. You're guilty. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And the moment that you believe God, like these folks believed God, and you repent, you turn to God, then God repents from placing you in hell. You see how that works? That's the exact same phraseology. That's the exact same wording that's going on here. So this is a characteristic of God. This is not about God changing his mind. This is not about God being wishy-washy. This is about God being who God is. You see, it's important for us to understand who God is according to the Bible, not try to understand God who God is according to what we think. Because repentance for us is not like what repentance for God is. It's not the same. Now, the turning part is the same. But for us, we are shaping our lives to be what God wants us to be, first through salvation, and then later through repeated restoration of fellowship. But God is here. Remember, he's not bound by time. I don't know why I've chosen this as God's throne, but for some reason I have. That's just kind of where I gravitate to, I guess. Maybe this monitor is giving me some good vibes or something. But God is not bound by time. He already knows that we're going to turn. He already knew that the Ninevites were going to repent. But because he's just, because he's holy, he has to pronounce the judgment. He has to say, sin has to be accounted for. These things, and then when the people repent, he can then be merciful. He can then be gracious. He can then show his loving kindness. And you see, all of this is determined before we even came around, before the Ninevites even came around. God already knew all that was going to happen. So, think of these verses. I printed out some of these so that we could understand a little bit about what's going on with God. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think about this phrase. This phrase just blows my mind. We studied about it a little bit in our Sunday school class. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Isn't that an amazing statement to you? It's an amazing statement to me. Now, that doesn't mean that God was sorry, if you will, that he had made man on the earth. It meant that because of man, his prized creation, and the choices that he made, it grieved God at his heart. Because man was against God. Man was the enemy of God. And when God created man, he didn't intend for man to be an enemy. Man chose to be an enemy. And that hurt God, if you will. God said, that is not what I wanted for mankind. But do you understand, we're not just robots. We get to choose. Do you know that as you live your life, especially after salvation, when God saves you, he doesn't want you to sin anymore. But every time you do, it grieves God. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you. And you know what? There may be some times, I don't even know if this is a thing, it just came to my mind. But do you understand, there may be some times where God might say, oh, what, was it worth it saving them? I don't think God would say that, but I hope you get the essence of what I'm trying to say. It hurts him. Because he gave his son to die for us. He bled on the cross and he suffered and he died and he cried out, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. And we who have received salvation are just audacious enough to go ahead and sin anyways? Are you getting the feeling of that? And that's what God was kind of saying here, that the wickedness of man was so great that it grieved him at his heart. In Exodus 32, the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. He said, hey, Moses, I'm going to start over with you. I'm tired of these people. Isn't that the feeling you get from there? He's like, I chose this people, and maybe I shouldn't have chosen them. Yeah, please understand, I say that tongue in cheek. God already knows what's going to happen. But that's how they made God feel. And Moses, I'm glad, I told you this before, I'm glad Moses and God never got on the same page concerning this particular subject, or there wouldn't be a children of Israel. Because there were times where Moses said, God, kill these people. They're driving me crazy. And then there were times, and God said, no, Moses, I can't do that. And then there were times like this one, where God said, Moses, I'm going to kill these people. They're driving me crazy. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from off the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto you, your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Okay? So, I'm trying to help us understand a little bit of the character of God. Because many times scholars and other people, they misrepresent what's going on here in places of scripture like this. They try to make it sound like God's kind of a fickle being that just on a whim chooses to do this or chooses to do that. That's not at all the case. Okay? Now, as we look at these things and we then look to our lives, I love verse 9 and what the king of Nineveh says. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And let me just say this. As God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. That was still God's choice. Could he have seen their repentance and decided to pass the judgment anyways? He could have. Okay? In our lives, after salvation, there are times where we sin And God decides not to give us the full punishment of what we've done. And that's His choice. And there are times that God does decide to give us that punishment. Can I just tell you what's going on here? What's going on here is that God knows what is best. My kids don't always like this. But there are times where I choose not to issue the punishment. And there are times that even though they're sorry and they've repented, I still issue the punishment. Guess where I learned that from? From the Bible. From our great God. And let me just kind of wrap it up by saying this. Guess what? It doesn't matter what I think about it at all. Because He's God. And if he wants to forgive the Ninevites, if He wants to send a preacher, knowing that the king would stand up and do such an amazing thing. This is very uncharacteristic of heathen kings. God knew what was best for those people and the best chance for those people. And so God said, Jonah, I have a job for you. God wants repentance. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And He got it this time from these people. And He decided not to eliminate them from the face of the earth. And guess what? He can do that. Whether you think He should or not. Because guess what? He did it, and Jonah didn't think he should do it. The prophet of God. The chosen. One of the chosen, the Israelites. One of the ones that said, this is my God, and we are His people. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Because it's not what Jonah wanted. I'll go back to what I kind of said at the beginning. We want justice, right? We want punishment doled out. Because they were wrong. Last I checked, God wants us to forgive. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to be long-suffering because He is. He wants us to adapt to His characteristics. I believe God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson. And guess what? Jonah refused to learn. Did Jonah witness all these things? Yes. Firsthand, didn't he? And what did Jonah decide? That he didn't like how God handled it. No, really, that's very evident. He didn't like it at all. How many times in our lives do we not like how God handles things? Don't be a Jonah. Don't be a Jonah. Be what God wants us to be. I love what verse 4, we're going to get into this a little bit more next time, but then said the Lord in verse 4, dost thou well to be angry? Jonah? Why are you angry? What do you care? It's not you. It's not your people. Your people weren't under judgment. Your people weren't about to be killed. Well, why are you mad about this? Because they should have died, Lord. They persecuted my ancestors. They're wicked and violent and heathen and they don't serve the Lord God Jehovah. You should have killed them all. And God told Jonah, why? Why are you mad about this, Jonah? If we will do, we would do well to look at all the scriptures. There's about 20 of them or so that talk about God repenting or God turning from the judgment that He was going to judge on someone. And we should understand that God wants us to be like Him. In the way we deal with people, in the way we think about people,
in the way of our relationships with people. How many of you know the verse Ephesians 4:32? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In the little song we teach the kids, it ends with a do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That's not in the scriptures, by the way. But that is what God wants us to do. That's what he wanted from Jonah. That thing of compassion. And that's what God has toward us.